Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Susan Vogt. Susan is an award-winning freelance writer and speaker on marriage, parenting, and spirituality, and the author of numerous books. A professional Catholic family minister for over 30 years, she has served as an advisor to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Marriage and Family. With Susan Vogt, we go inside the pages of Parenting Your Adult Child, Keeping the Faith and Your Sanity, published by St. Anthony Messenger Press. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Parenting Your Adult Child, Keeping the Faith and Your Sanity. That is the challenge, isn't it?
Yes, I've lived through it myself, and sometimes clumsily, but it is a challenge and it is something worth trying to do.
I think there was a period in the life of Americans that we thought that by the time you're 18, they're off to college and then they're on their own. We have empty nests, but the nests aren't so empty anymore, are they?
Well, that has certainly been my experience. The young adult may no longer be living at home, or of course they may boomerang back home, as is often our experience. But even when they are living at college or in the armed services or just somewhere outside of the home that they grew up in, we're still connected. And so as parents, we always will be their parent and always have the duty to worry about them. Mm-hmm. Maybe duty is the wrong word, but it comes with being a parent that being concerned and being connected is always there, even if they aren't physically living in our home anymore.
Oh, the thing is, I think it is a duty in a way because it's all about relationship, isn't it? And it's one
yes.
that was created when we first conceived them and or brought them into the family. It's part of that relationship. Relationships don't end at a particular point that we determine, do they?
Right. That's certainly true.
Parenting Your Adult Child, Keeping the Faith and Your Sanity. What brought you to the point of actually writing this book?
Well, I do a lot of public speaking and especially parenting workshops. And the question that I would hear, or maybe not so much a question as a comment that I heard over and over again, went something like, I love my kids and they are good, generous human beings, but I'm concerned that they no longer practice their faith. And I found that to be true not only among parents who would attend my workshops, but also within my own family and among many family life educators and family ministers. So even among my colleagues who I knew were trying their darndest to give their children everything they needed, including a very solid faith formation, and they were still experiencing some of the same things with their own children. And so I thought it was time to start collecting people's experiences and wisdom about this and how people of goodwill and good faith learned to deal with it.
I think an important point to bring forward about the book is that it's not just for Catholic parents, is it?
That's true. Certainly my background is Catholic, and so many of the examples come from my Catholic heritage. But I think the dynamic is universal. The dynamic of parents wanting their children to be good human beings and wanting to share their faith, whatever it is, with them, and young adults being young adults, typically or often go through a time of resistance or rebellion or just apathy. And sometimes that apathy lasts for a really long time, even after we are no longer here to watch over them.
I love the fact that you base this on the virtues, And in particular, you bring out 15 virtues that I think needs the, I don't want to say arsenal, but it really is. I mean, it has to be in your quiver as parents. I mean, if not just to poke our kids, but to poke ourselves.
Yes, that's true. And yes, I do highlight 15 virtues. Some of them are the traditional virtues that you hear in scripture or in church teaching, but some of them are more virtues that I've used some literary license with and have just found are qualities that are good to nurture. And if I had to pick out one or two as foundational, although I think they all build on each other, I would probably pick unconditional love. Mm. I don't mean by unconditional love that your child gets everything he or she wants or that there are never any rules or boundaries, but rather, no matter what, that we will always love them, even if it means at times booting them out of the house, just like a mother bird would boot her babies out of the nest. Not because we don't want them around anymore, but because we know they need that tough love in order to learn to fly. And so unconditional love is probably the foundational one. And if I had to pick, it's hard, you know, it's like picking among your children. Sure. If I had to pick a second one, it would probably be silence of words followed by listening, because they're both related. And by silence of words, I don't mean that one never talks at all, but rather we choose our words very carefully and probably as a parent, give less advice and speak less than we did when the children were younger. Mm-hmm. And of course, listening is connected to that, because silence of words gives us time to be quiet and to listen to the real needs and interests and the heartfelt concerns of our kids.
Mm-hmm. That's a real challenge. I mean, I'm finding that with my 20-something-year-old kids that are adults, but I keep yes. calling them kids, right. that they just want to be heard now. They just need to blow off steam. They just yes. need to, they want to process the situations at work or the situations in college, but they don't necessarily want you to give them the answer.
Yes. And that listening gives them the space and the time to, as you say, process what they're thinking. Sometimes they just need to say it out loud, think it through, and you may or may not say anything, but you're there as a sounding board.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, parenting your adult child, keeping the faith and your sanity, Susan, has been set up so beautifully for not only the individual who is seeking some support and some understanding of what to do with your adult child, but it's also set up for group reading that parishes could, or just even a group of friends could gather and use the book as a jumping point for discussion, for reflection and pondering. And then you also have the questions in the back so that you can kind of break open those discussions.
Yes, I think certainly as a writer and I'm a parent myself of four young adults, I've tried to share a lot of what I learned, but a lot of what I have learned and share in the book is the result of other parents talking to me also. And that's the value of small support groups and study groups, is that wisdom comes from many different sources, and often it's the experiences of other parents who are living through the same kind of thing that I might be. And it's not only getting tips from them, but it's the consolation and the commiseration of, I'm not in this alone. I'm not weird or strange or a failure because my young adults are making decisions or going in a path that might not be the one I had hoped for them.
It's difficult, isn't it, for parents to forgive themselves for the mistakes we might have made when they were younger, but also the ones that we might be making right now. That forgiveness of them, but also of ourselves, is really key, isn't it?
Yes. And it's something that I think most parents struggle with at some point in our parenting lives. What I have learned that's helped me is to keep repeating this following mantra back to myself, that I am responsible for the process I used in raising our children, not the outcome. So that I tried my darndest to do what I thought was best, and we took them to church, and we talked with them about faith at home, and did everything we could to implant the faith that we hold dear in our children. But I can't control the outcome. I can't control how they take that and use it in their own lives. And other family life ministers have said the same thing to me. But then also I talk with parents who say, you know, your whole career, your profession is family ministry. And so certainly you did things with, you know, faith worship services at home and home prayer and things like that. But I didn't do those things. I don't know if I was as good at the process as professionals might be. And so maybe I can't feel comfort in remembering that I did the process as best one could. And to that, I answer, well, even if you maybe fault yourself for not doing the ideal parenting job, you probably did. And this is pretty universally true. I seldom find it not to be the case that each parent did the best with what they knew at the time and what their circumstances were. Even if you feel you messed up or were delinquent in sharing faith, you did the best with what you knew at the time. And now we pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and say, okay, I can't change history. What I'm going to do is try to be the best parent I can now in whatever way I can.
How do you know, Susan, when to jump in and rescue and when you need to let them experience it themselves? Because there is a fine line.
Yes, that really is hard. And I can't say that I've perfected this, although I've come up with some guidelines myself that have helped me. And that's, when will the help or the rescue that I'm considering doing, when will it help my young adult become more independent? Or will it instead make him or her more dependent on me? For example, if my young adult is of college age and maybe needs money for schooling, or maybe he or she dropped out of school, made some bad decisions, and is in financial trouble. If I pay for them, or part of paying tuition in allowing them to re-enter college or at some educational endeavor, that will probably further their long-range earning ability. So it will help them become less dependent on me in the long range, paying for schooling. Whereas paying to help my child pay off a credit card debt, that's just a temporary fix. You know, that doesn't teach them not to get into trouble with credit cards and debt in the future. So, and likewise, helping a single parent with childcare if it's a temporary situation, can help them get over a crisis. And so that's helping them become more independent. Mm-hmm. As long as there is a plan for how that young adult is going to find a path to independent living, and this won't be a permanent situation of helping out with childcare. So the rule of thumb is, will this action help my child become more independent, or will it make them dependent on me? Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes a tricky thing to figure out, but it's a way of guarding ourselves against just jumping in to rescue them because they ask.
Right. I think it brings up the bigger question of what's fair, especially when you're dealing with offspring, multiple kids. And I mean, I'm finding that out as well. My husband and I, what is it in helping this particular child and allowing the other one to make the mistake and learn from it? It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's because all the kids are different.
Yes.
And I keep referring to, obviously I'm aging myself because I keep calling them kids. I keep talking about fine lines, but it seems as though we're having to navigate on one.
Yes. And each child is unique. And it is similar to that question of which child do you love more or most? And the answer, of course, is all of them. Now, the young adult may not always experience and perceive your help to one or the other of their siblings as fair. They may feel you are giving more attention to one than to another. And it's so subjective, it's hard to know precisely, but because each child is unique, some of them are going to need more of our attention than others. And we try to keep it in our minds. If one is getting more help financially, that another one may get more help emotionally or in other supportive ways. It sounds a lot like the prodigal son story from Scripture, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does.
That there are different ways that the father took care of the two sons, and the one was jealous. But we can't control all of that. We just continue loving them.
There's that word, that unconditional love, and doing the best that we can. Now, in parenting your adult child, keeping the faith and your sanity, Susan, you did a lot of research. This isn't just from your own experience, but you did conduct many surveys and got a lot of feedback. What was some of the most surprising things that you found in those surveys?
A few of the young adults said that they found absolutely nothing that they admired in their parents' generation. Mm. Now, I take exception to that, and most of them did not say that. But I think that reflects the fact that, well, they are young adults. And as they grow in experience and maybe have children of their own, my suspicion is that that will change. And they'll say, oh, I didn't realize how tough this was. Another surprise, and this only happened once, was a parent who said that he felt all his children were godly adults and none were difficult, and they all attended Mass every week without exception. Well, indeed, this may be true for this particular family, but I think it is rare and not something that others probably can learn from as easily, because most parents are not finding that their young adults follow everything that neatly. Mm-hmm. And a third surprise, and maybe this shouldn't have been a surprise, but I didn't realize how many people were bombarding St. Monica in heaven with their pleas for their children. Mm-hmm. I had heard of St. Monica. I knew that she was the mother of St. Augustine and that she had She did not have an easy time raising him. And he certainly gave her a run for her money, but she persisted in prayer. And so she has become, I think, the go-to woman for many parents as they become discouraged or frustrated with their own children, is that they just keep praying to St. Monica. Saints have a way of personalizing our dilemmas, our needs, our the things we thirst for. And when you know the story of a saint who lived through it, it's easy to pour out our hearts to them in prayer. And St. Monica is one of those people.
Yeah, she certainly has been there, done that.
Right.
The key is to walk in our faith, to hold and steadfast and trust. And that
yes.
can be very difficult when we want so much to protect those babies who are big, right. giant, and probably taller than us.
Yes, and you really caught an important part of the book, I think, is that it's not so much about giving tips for raising young adults, although certainly there are a number of those in the book. It's more about how we are growing as parents in our own faith and what the experience of having young adults, how that helps our faith mature and deepen, because we don't have control over our young adults. We only have, and not very good, control over ourselves. But they are vehicles for us deepening our own faith. And that's what we must focus on, is how is it changing me? How is it helping me become a more compassionate and faithful and virtuous person? And so it's my own faith that's really being tested in the experience of parenting young adults.
You have to know when to pick your battles. And I think that is a section of the book that you could go over and over again. And again, in parenting your adult child, keeping the faith and your sanity, Susan, I think it's important that you can have those group discussions with your friends, because I think relying on their counsel too, knowing just what battles to pick on these things.
Yes, because it's not worth fighting over every little thing. You just poison or damage the relationship that you're going to need, I think, in order to be able to support your young adult in the long range. So some of the battles that I think are not worth fighting are, what if they're practicing a faith other than yours? Well, on one hand, I'd say be happy and grateful that they're practicing any faith, and hope that the witness of your own life has spoken to them enough that they may or may not choose to become Catholic at some time. That's not the point. The point is that you're not going to be able, you can't force a person to follow a particular faith. That has to be a free will decision on their own. You also can't force choice of a boyfriend or girlfriend. And a final thing that I'd say is a battle definitely not worth fighting is disciplining grandchildren. Mm. Unless, of course, you are the primary caretaker of the grandchild. And this is something I've learned firsthand, because we now have a grandchild, and our son and daughter-in-law are excellent parents, very conscientious, and we're very proud of them. But I know times have changed, and what I allowed or would not allow when our children were growing up may not be the same things they've negotiated between themselves as their parenting style. And it's very important to support them and not interfere with the way they're disciplining the grandchildren. Now, of course, this is assuming that there's not a health or neglect issue involved. And usually that's not the case. It's just a matter of my way versus their way.
It has to start with us and how we live out our lives. You go back to Saint Monica, many people will pray to her. Well, the thing that really touched her son's heart was her perseverance, her
Yes.
faithfulness, her steadfastness, that if we believe the choices that they're making are incorrect and we've done the best that we can and we're still open to loving them and being there for them, I from what I'm hearing you say is that we continue in our faithfulness to what we believe, and that will be a rock for them.
Yes, and it will be enough.
Exactly. Susan, thank you so much for joining us today, and we just wish you more and more success down the road, because I have a feeling as the bubble continues to grow, more and more people are going to be turning for your sage wisdom.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
We've been going inside the pages of Parenting Your Adult Child, Keeping the Faith and Your Sanity with Susan Vogt. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to AmericanCatholic.org, the website for St. Anthony Messenger Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.